All right, Heavenly Father, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding of you. We pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of your calling, the glorious inheritance that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4:10. The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach the full unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love, by the proper working of each individual part. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the Spirit of God, didn't he? He sent the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And we've not really talked much about the gifts so much. We did probably a year and a half ago, we went through them on Thursday night. But I haven't really addressed them so much. Not because I'm not for them. I'm all for the gifts. Come on. I'm a tongue talker. I am. I sing in the Spirit and I speak in the Spirit. I fully expect to have prophecy and to prophesy. Paul said that you might prophesy above all things, that you might prophesy, because it's one of the greatest gifts, because it has the ability to help people. We ought to be able to prophesy. But there's been so many other things that the Lord has led me to. And I keep wanting to go to the spiritual gifts. And we're not actually going to talk about the gifts so much of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. But we're going to start with a plateau right here. Here are these gifts that Jesus gave the church. And what does Paul say they do? When we read that, he says that the ministry gifts are for the edifying and the building up of the church so it grows in unity, so that it's not blown around by clever, deceitful tricks and winds of doctrine and this new teaching and that new teaching and that new teaching and this new thing and that new thing. You know, and when I'm on Instagram and I look at all these people who call themselves prophet so-and-so, the prophetess, and every single one of them, God's doing a new thing. Watch out. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He might present a way that he's done something in the past in a new way, but it's not a new thing. He's not changing. God doesn't change. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So a teaching has to line up with yesterday, today, and forever. So if God said something is eternal, that doesn't mean it stopped yesterday, and that we're on a break. You know, some people when they're dating, we're going to take a break. You know what that means? It means she broke up with you, bud. She found someone else. You're get over it. She has moved on. We don't take a break from the teaching and instruction of God. Everything in the Old Testament, building up through the Gospels and with Jesus and on through Paul, is all a building of what God is doing. He's been building something. And when he's doing that, he's speaking words of life. Now, this morning I woke up, probably because it was warm, but probably because God was speaking to me. And he's done this one other time. I was in Teen Challenge, and I woke up three times. And some of you have heard me share this before. And he said, "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth." And this happened in Teen Challenge. I was in Teen Challenge, and I was probably over halfway done with my time there, and I went back to sleep, and I woke up, and he said, Ephesians 4:29. I'm like, okay, got it. I went back to sleep. Ephesians 4:29. Oh, okay, I got it. No corrupt language. Do you know it never really occurred to me what corrupt language was? I thought it was like the F word. It's not. See, and that's one of the things that the ministry gifts help us to do, is that they help us to unpack what's in here. See, I point to this, and everybody looks at it and says and sees an iPad. I look at it and see it as a study tool. It's got more space taken up with it in Bible programs and interlinear stuff and all that, you know, podcasts with Christian teaching and stuff like that. Some of my favorite teachers and stuff. This is a Bible for me, okay? Because that's all I ever do on this. I don't even play solitaire on this, and it would be easier because it's a format. You know what I'm saying? But God has given us the gifts to help us to grow, to help us to mature. What happens when we're not in church with the ministry of the pastor? When we're not, because see, listen, not everybody is an evangelist. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really an evangelist. I'm more of a shy person. I'm not going to go to the store and start talking to people. That's her. She has dreams of standing on the street corners, calling people to Jesus. I don't. That's not my gift. If I look at her and say, wow, what an amazing gift. I wish I could be like that. And then I start to act like her. What about my gift? Because the church needs pastors. The church needs pastors more than it needs evangelists. The world needs evangelists. Right? The church doesn't need to be evangelized. We've already heard the message. That's why we're here. We need pastors and teachers and prophets so that we can help to grow, right? And so I woke up this morning and I was thinking about that. And let's start in verse 17, because this helps kind of clarify. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. Futility of thoughts. What is that? It means pointless thoughts. They're ungodly thoughts. They're unproductive thoughts. They're unproductive, right? Futility of thoughts. They think all kinds of crazy. Man, if you listen to the news, there's some cray-cray going on out there right now. I'm telling you what. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. So what brings on these futile thoughts? The ignorance, because of their darkened understanding and the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. You think more, more. I think of the song by Abba. Money, money, money. Must be funny. This is this constant crave for more. I mean, there are people who want more. They want to have more power. They want to have more control. They want to have more influence over people. And you know what the Bible says about people who are always talking? Eventually their folly will be known, their foolishness. Even a foolish man seems wise when he keeps his mouth closed, right? Exactly. But that is not, verse 20, how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that was, look at this, corrupted. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word. So these are people who are corrupted. So what kind of thoughts are corrupted thoughts? They're ungodly. They're unproductive. Do you know what the word corrupt means? It means like rotten, spoiled flesh. You ever smelled rotten, spoiled flesh? A year ago, when my dad was in the hospital, we went to his house, and his refrigerator freezer had died. It used to be ours. It was this beautiful KitchenAid, beautiful, black polished, double door, ice and water with blue lights. It was gorgeous, man. This thing was beautiful. And it had died. The freezer contained probably 20 pounds of chicken that were now no longer being frozen, but cooked. Because the compressor kept going trying to cool it off. But all it was doing was tossing hot air into the freezer, which was sealed shut. And you walked into the house, and it smelled like something had died. The air was corrupted. The very atmosphere in the house. There were flies everywhere because there were maggots in the blood on the floor that was dried up. And we had to ultimately open the door. Can I tell you, it was corrupt. You could have said the F word 100 times. I wouldn't have heard you over the corruption that was in that freezer and in that house. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference between words that we say and words that we mean. Corrupt is rotten. It's used again very similarly. The word with the same meaning of corrupt is used in the book of Genesis in chapter 6. When it talks about all the ways of man have become corrupt, it means the same thing, rotten, spoiled. All the ways of man have become rotten, and we will not. See, here's one of those places where we take things out of context. He said, I won't strive with man for 120 years. It took Moses about that long to build the ark. So that's the 120 years he's talking about. Noah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't be confused. Don't be easily confused. Yes, thank you. Noah. He did. It was the Ark of the Covenant. See, I'm covered. Nice save, right? I got my arcs mixed up. I don't think it's just vacation, dear. But God told Noah, he said, my spirit will not strive with man. His days shall be 120. In other words, in 120 years, I'm going to get rid of it all. You're going to build an ark, and all that corrupt flesh is going to be gone. He's not saying that the days of man will be 120. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm believing for 120 years. Well, go ahead. You want to live 120 years? Oh, please. Only if you have a sound mind and a strong body and plenty of finances for it. You know, it was so corrupt, God had to wash it clean. It did. You put on, verse 24. Verse 22. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. Corruption comes from deceitful desires. Deceitful means twisted, wrong. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on, come on. It doesn't say pastor will put it on for you. It doesn't say mommy is going to put it on for you. It doesn't say daddy's going to get it out and shake the dust off and put it on for you. It says you put on yourself the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. See, the likeness of God is righteousness. Do you know, people don't like that. I had a conversation with someone on Twitter. And I was agreeing with something that somebody who's of the LGBT persuasion, and I said, but, you know, I'm a pastor, and as a believer, I believe this. And they're saying, you know, so this other person chimed in. And, you know, because the person I was talking to didn't get offended. It was some other person who chimed in and said, so you're saying that all gay people are going to hell. I said, I didn't say that. Scripture says. But God says. God says this. God says it's an abomination. God says that you can actually be healed from it. Oh, so you think people need to go into houses and be treated and be made well from it? And I said, no, I think you can get delivered from it. Just like anything else. You know what I'm saying? But people get offended. Are they offended at me? They think they are. They're offended at the word of God. Why? Because they're corrupted through deceitful thoughts. They have allowed every thought that comes into their mind to control them. It's when people say, well, I just feel, I just feel, I just feel, I just feel, I just feel. Shut up. Stop letting yourself feel so much. I mean, you know, yes, we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And God laughs. God dances. God has a good time. Now, come on. I told Kathy was reading out of Proverbs. I said, you know, don't look at the glass with the wine in it and get all excited. And I said, oh, come on. Jesus turned water into wine. That doesn't make that proverb 100% true. God is opposed to, what is he opposed to? Drunkenness. He said, don't be drunk with wine. He didn't ever say, don't drink wine. He said, don't be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Which is, if you've ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost, woo! So much better. So much better. No hangover, no guilt. Come on. Since you put away lying, so these are corrupt things. Speak truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. He didn't say don't get angry. He says don't get angry and then let it lead to sin, like murdering somebody or speaking ill of somebody. Come on. It is, because we're just reacting to somebody who may not even know what they're doing. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. How do you give the devil an opportunity? When you let the sun go down on your anger. Because then you're angry all night long. I'm not going to ask for hands. But I know that I'm not the only person here who's let the sun go down on his anger, slept in the bed of hostility and bitterness and anger all night, and then woke up in the morning just feeling so convicted and so condemned and so gross, and still being mad and just, but I don't want to get over it. That's sin. Why is that sin? Because that's pride. That's allowing your feelings to control you. And that's deceitful because it gives the enemy a door. It gives him an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, see, all through here, you're given a don't do this, instead do that. Don't do this, instead do that. Right? I just think God is so clear on everything. Stop doing that and do this instead. He hasn't made it difficult. He says, stop loving yourself, love me first. Don't steal from your neighbor, I'll provide for you. Right? Put me first, I'll put you first. I bless you, you bless others. God's got a way of working things with us, okay? So that he has something to share with anyone who's in need. And see, this is how God's working with the thief. Instead of stealing to get what he needs, he should work, provide with his own hands, then be able to share. Instead of stealing, see, that's a different flow out of the heart. The heart flow of someone who steals is everything comes in, nothing goes out. It's a plugged up situation. Your heart is plugged up. Jesus comes and unplugs the heart. And he gets a nice flow of the rivers of living water coming in you and out of you. And then you're a conduit for the goodness and grace of God. And you're not stagnant. Oh, I had a dream about that too, sister. No, really. No foul language or corrupt language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need. So it gives grace to those who hear. So, in other words, don't let corruption out of your mouth. Corruption is anything that corrupts another person. It can corrupt a person. It can corrupt yourself. It can corrupt a situation. It smells like foul, rotten flesh. when we get angry and we just let our mouths run. I like what Sister pointed out. She said that what was the scripture you said? The wise man, even the wise man seems, the foolish man seems wise. Right. The foolish man seems wise when he keeps his mouth closed. Right, Debbie? That's right. The foolish man seems, because you can get all, just all kinds of bent out of shape. And I remember what our pastor Ray used to say. You can be right, but you don't have to be right. Just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be right. Because your words can corrupt another person. Do you want to be responsible for corrupting, speaking curse over someone else? Well, I was so mad at her, man. I just... Come on, I'm not the only person here in history who's ever been married. Every single one of y'all with children out there has had, at one point or another, mumbling under your teeth, your lips. Well, you know, those are curses. They're not cute. They're not funny. They're curses. You're cursing your spouse. You're saying bad things about him. That's a curse. We're supposed to bless and not curse. Jesus said, can fresh water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? No. Can a tree produce both good fruit and bad fruit? No. Why? Because a tree is known by its fruit. It's either good fruit or bad fruit. If you have a tree that constantly produces bad fruit, get rid of it. If you have a chicken that you find coming home with cartons of eggs and stacking them up in the nest, you know it's lying and cheating. The old Bugs Bunny cartoon where the chicken would go and she'd try to steal eggs from the other hen's nest so it'd look like she was still productive. I always have, you have to mix some humor in. Corruption spreads. How many of you have ever noticed you'll have a bunch of lemons in a bag and you smell something's not right, you go over and there's one lemon that's just really bad. And every lemon that's touching it has that bad spot where it's touching it. Because what happens? Corruption spreads. Corruption spreads. So the more you're around that corrupt nature, the more you allow for the corrupt nature to come out of you, the more you are corrupting and you're leading into sin and you're in sin. It, especially, you know, if you're in a situation where people are doing things that you're trying to stay away from, you need to distance yourself from those kinds of situations. God's not going to take an alcoholic and put them in a position as a bartender. The Word of God should confirm what God is saying to us. And God doesn't want you to be in a bad situation and be tempted, and that's not God's will either. Verse 30 says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Keeping away from corruption. Now, we're not saying, you know, just stay away from, you can't be away from the world all the time. You know what I'm saying? You have to live in it. You know, I drove in traffic today. Can I just tell you, I don't like traffic and I don't like other drivers. But I was coming down from Tahoe. When was it? We'd gone up there for the day. Because we do this a lot. We'll go up to Tahoe and we'll go to Camp Richardson and get an ice cream cone at the ice cream parlor there, or, you know, go to Sand Harbor. And oh, it was with your parents and Miguel, and we'd gone to Sand Harbor. And I heard myself talking to other drivers. And I thought, come on, Pastor, that's not right. You know better than that. That's corrupt words. And so I've been really working at it. Sometimes I forget because it's so easy for me to do it because I've done it for so long. You know, I really have to, you know, I have to think about it. And when I hear myself doing it, then I stop myself. You know? You know, Kathy used to say when people were bad drivers, she'd say, Lord, just give them a revelation of how much they need you. But she wasn't doing it from a pure heart, were you, honey? She wanted them to know the depth of their sin and their ugliness before God. There was no mercy in it from her. There was no mercy in it. Well, you know, God dealt with her about it. God dealt with her about it. But see, that's part of the growing process, is that you know, here, you know, as naturally speaking, a woman gets pregnant. She goes through the time of pregnancy. She gives birth. She has a baby, and she holds the baby. And after a couple of weeks, she thinks, "Will it never sleep? Will I never sleep?" Then after a couple months, the baby sleeps. The mother's gotten into a routine. Pretty soon, the baby is walking and talking, and pretty soon, the baby says, "No, it's okay. I don't need you." And they grow up. It doesn't work that way with Christianity. We have to actually make a work of it. Paul said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Just because I've been saved for 30 years or 10 years or 60 years doesn't mean I'm mature. We knew this, these ladies at the church that we were going to when we met. And one of them had taught Sunday school and believed that there were many ways to Jesus, to the Father. There wasn't just Jesus. I said, "And you taught Sunday school?" "Yeah, I taught Sunday school for 25 years. And I said, "And you told your neighbor there are many ways to God?" I said, "Do you know that there's only salvation in one name, and that's Jesus Christ?" And she says, "Does the Bible say that?" Come on. And this other lady, man, if they saw each other at church, they sat on opposite sides of the church, and if they got close enough, they'd hit each other on the way out. They'd been in church for 60 years. Both of them just as immature, just as babyish, just both given over to every whim. And God wants us to not be corrupt like that. He wants us to grow up. He wants us, see, when we're not growing up, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we're giving in to corruption, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit who lives in us. No, we want to grow and not give way. He says, all bitterness, anger, and wrath. Come on. All bitterness, anger, and wrath. It sounds like, you know, Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. All bitterness, anger, and wrath. Papa, you know. All bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. We could use some of that in Washington, D.C. and on the news, couldn't we? Getting rid of slander and bitterness and anger, wrath, shouting. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. Help them. And be kind and compassionate to one another. Kind and compassionate. We need to be able to talk to each other, even if we disagree on certain things. Some people might believe one thing and another something else. And I have lots of people I have disagreement with. But I don't stop being kind. We continue to have dialogue. We continue to get along. Why? Because we're all part of the same body. And people outside the body, they're supposed to know us by our love one for another. If we're like, you know, some of those talk shows out there, good Lord. Yes, brothers through Christ. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. God's not a corrupt God. You know, I think about that with the concept that corrupt is like rotten flesh and how vile that is. It's corrupt. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, you are something else. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. We thank you for your spirit here tonight, helping us, teaching us, encouraging us, loving us. We thank you, Father, for your spirit indwelling us. Oh, so that we can grow and understand and be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and depth and height of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.